Well, good morning. I want you to do this. I want you to stand up. And I want you to roll your shoulders. Let's work on some posture this morning. And then you can sit back down. I just need to take a deep breath, let it out, and then you can have a seat. It's just that easy. I'm struggling this morning a little bit because of I don't sleep really well anyway. And especially if I wake up, I'm done, so I might as well just get up. And so after Helena, there's a little bit of in my head when these storms come through. The boys have this massive oak tree by their rooms, and I'm like, it's just kind of there. So I set my alarm clock last night at 2 o'clock, and then I set it again at 4 o'clock. Because Chris Justice, he's on sometimes, and sometimes he's not, and you just don't know what's going to happen there. After 2 o'clock, I couldn't go back to sleep. So Sarah's out of town. So I was like, you know what? I'll start doing some things. So I started cleaning and started drinking coffee real early. And so I'm about 3 pots in, and I don't know if my heart's going to explode or if I'm just going to fall over this morning. But I'm glad you're here, that you braved the storm. If you haven't turned there, I want you to turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, and we will get there very, very shortly. I like to watch documentaries, especially when I'm running on a treadmill or elliptical. I feel like I'm getting something done. I like to take in knowledge any way I can. And I was watching recently this documentary on Tom Brady. And it was really interesting. As I was watching it, I was reminded that we live in this culture where we can learn a lot about people real quick without not a whole lot of effort. And so I'm watching this documentary on Brady, and I wrote down some things. I don't even have it with me, so I'm going to sit and go by memory. But anyway, I wrote some things down, and I was thinking it would be really easy for me to run into Tom Brady. And not that anybody let me get close enough to him, but if I did, I could, after watching this documentary, I could literally go up to Tom Brady and be like, hey, man, like, how's Jack and Marcy doing after the divorce with Giselle? Like, how are you guys handling that? And then maybe take it a step, you know, a little closer and say, hey, how's the broadcasting stuff doing? You're not really good at it. I don't know if you need to go back to playing football and I could keep peeling it back with the information that I got. Probably enough. I mean, I'm pretty good at this, but probably enough to, as he walked away from me, probably walking away from me, he says, I feel like I know that guy, but I don't know that I know that guy. And I thought in my mind, we could probably do that. Like with Facebook and social media, I challenge you this week, just pick somebody random that you don't know, stalk them a little bit, you know, just kind of follow them, and maybe see if you can get into a conversation that starts to go a little deeper. Now, here's the point. The point is, and I really wrestle with this a lot of times as a pastor, we live in the Bible Belt. And we live in a place where it's really easy to be familiar with Jesus, to know a lot about Jesus, but not to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And it's a real scary thing. I love the Gospel of John because John wrote this gospel basically to make the case of why Jesus is worth believing in. And we see these 7 statements. This is where we're landing over the next 6 weeks. These I am statements of what Jesus says about himself. The 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and I was reminded this week just reading. We all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Johnny just said this word, beholding the glory of the Lord. The word means to draw attention to observe, to truly know Jesus. So what I want to do this morning, before we do anything else, I want you to bow your heads where you're at. And we prayed this over you this morning. I've prayed this over you this week. But I want you to pray where you're at, simply this. Whether you're here this morning, you're a believer or you're not a believer, I want you to pray this. Pray that the Holy Spirit of God would give you eyes to see and ears to hear this morning. Pray that He would help you see and sense the reality of Jesus Christ in a way that goes beyond where we currently sit. Amen. Two questions I have for you this morning. Two questions. And I want you to keep these in the back of your mind as we walk through this passage. Simply this. Are you walking in the light or are you walking in the dark? Do you know Him or do you know about Him? And here's the second one. Are you blocking the light or are you reflecting the light in the world, in the place where the Lord has placed you? That's it. When we get to this passage, it's really interesting because you need the context. You need to see what's taking place here. We just read it. Jesus is in the temple, and He simply says, "I am the light of the world." And in that moment, someone gets up and says, "You're a liar." And I think in order to feel the impact of it, because what Jesus is saying there is, "I'm God." But the crazy thing is the scene itself. So they were just coming out. If you go back into the seventh chapter, they're coming out of what was the Feast of the Tabernacle. It was harvest time. And in this feast, it was really a reenactment of God's provision through the Exodus. It was God's faithfulness to His people during this time. So the people would come and they would live out of huts to reenact it. I don't know if you've ever been to a reenactment before. I've been to, it's really weird, I've been to a Civil War reenactment. And these people, they really believe what they're doing. And if you haven't done it, you should go watch it. But anyway, that's the feel here. Like, it's intense. So they walk through this festival, and on the very last night, there's this moment where they come in into the temple, and there's these massive candles. There's these oil lamps that they come and they light throughout the temple, and it lights the place up. And it's this huge party. It's this huge, huge time to celebrate God's goodness. And the picture is, as God led them out of Egypt, if you know the story, if you go back to Exodus, He provides them this cloud to lead them that shelters them during the day. And at night, that cloud turns into this ball of fire that leads them during the night and protects them. And that same cloud, if you remember, goes to Mount Sinai, lands there, and then it moves the tabernacle. So it continues to guide them as they go through the wilderness. And then when they get to the temple, when it's built, that cloud comes down and rests there. It's the glory of God. So that's what they're celebrating here. So I want you to picture the moment. It's a big deal. That was the night before Jesus stands in the temple. And now those lamps have been turned off. It's kind of like taking your Christmas tree down, right? Here we go. And what's crazy is if you go to Ezekiel, Ezekiel used the words Ichabod, which means the glory is gone. So in that moment, these people are realizing they haven't seen God's glory in a long time. And in that moment, Jesus says, "I'm the light." And they don't like it. These religious leaders, they don't like it. They see that Jesus is making this claim that He is God. And what they've done in this moment is they built their whole identity off of checking boxes to make themselves look a little bit better. So this is a massive threat to their being. And the truth is it goes even further than that, because look at Jesus' response here. Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. Jesus is, he's going all the way back to Genesis 1 here. And if you go back to Genesis 1, if you remember how it starts, the universe is in, it says, it's unformed. It's dark. It's void. It's empty. And then God says, let there be light. And we start to see the change. Just in those words, let there be. It's before there was the sun. It was before there was the moon. It was before there were stars. God himself was the light. And this process of what was formless was being formed now. And what was dark was bringing into the light. And this is the way that God begins to interact with his creation. Jesus is saying, this is who I am. And he's going to reference, we'll get there in a minute, Revelation 21, to where I am going. So what does this mean for us, Christians, non-Christians, that we, as we just look at what it means, what does it mean to live in the light? What does that mean for us? I was talking to Gordon on Friday, and we were talking about catechisms. And they're interesting because I've got several of them. And the idea of a catechism is simply this. It's a tool that the church has used for a long time to help us intellectually shape our understanding of God. And I've got several of them, and I was reading it through them yesterday. And what's interesting about them, because here's the question we have to ask. Like, why are we here? What is the point? What is this all about? Right? It's a good question to ask. And all of them said pretty much the same thing. That we're here to bring glory to God by enjoying him forever. Wow. That's an amazing purpose. What's your ultimate purpose? It's to enjoy God. And how do you do that? By glorifying him. Well, how do we glorify him? By rightly living and ordering our life around his commands that are meant to lead us into the fullest life possible. So when Jesus is talking about this picture of being the light, the first thing he's talking about is formation. If the chief end of man, the reason that we exist, the reason that we're the spirit, he kind of pulls it all together here. According to the Bible, you know, the mind informs the heart, and sometimes they fight, and sometimes the heart wrestles with the mind, and the mind wrestles with the heart, and the body just kind of comes along for the ride. But so if the mind informs the heart, that fuels what we feel, and we navigate that in our physical bodies. And what Jesus is saying here is there is a divine design to all of this. I don't know if y'all remember it, but during our unity nights, I love this example. I've used it before. I think it's great. But one of the boys, Easton, when he was little, we had a betta fish, and I came home one day, and he had taken that fish, and his name was Willie, and he had set Willie free. And so Willie was laying on the counter just flopping away, and I came in, and I was like, what are you doing, buddy? He said, I'm freeing him. And I'm like, you're not freeing him, you're killing Willie. And so we put Willie back in it, and Willie, he did live a little longer. But here was my point to him, because what he thought was, because he was in this little bowl, he was confined. And the water was murky, it wasn't clean. He thought it could be better for Willie. But what I reminded him is that God gave Willie fins to swim in this, and he gave Willie gills to breathe in this. There's this divine design that we've been called to. And Jesus is reminding us here when he says that he is the light, that if you're outside of this design, If you don't know him, in a way, you're unmade. You're unformed. If you're around the church very long, we use this word sanctification a lot. And it's as with the moment you become a Christian, follower of Jesus, Holy Spirit comes in. He starts rearranging the furniture, right? He starts changing you to those words we just talked about. He's making you look more like him. That's the goal. A couple weeks ago, we were, Sarah's sister had got this trip for us 3 years ago through her school to go to Abaco, which is, it's the Bahamas, but it's not what you think the Bahamas is. It's kind of out in the middle of, it's a third world country, let's just be honest. And so we get there, and I don't know what they were expecting, but we are 30 minutes from life. And there's a couple dogs and cats. 30 minutes from a grocery store, 30 minutes from restaurants. And so when you get there, you're there. And for me, who's very ADD, this was going to be a struggle. My mother-in-law was making fun of me all week because I was just walking around with a fishing pole. And because there was nothing else to do. And the weather was terrible. It was extremely cloudy at times, high winds. And I like to fish. I like to fly fish. There's a fish in the Bahamas called a bonefish. And so if you are a hunter or a fisherman and you want something a little bit more athletic, right? If you're ADD and you got to do something, you can't just sit in a stand. This is your sport. That's great. And so because you're constantly, you're sight fishing. But the problem is you got to be able to see them. So that no guides would take me out because the weather was too rough. And finally, on the last day, a guy's like, okay, we'll go. It's going to be rough. You're probably going to throw up. But if you're insisting, we'll do it. So we take off, and we finally get to, and it is rough. We finally get to this island, and which is really funny because we didn't know this guy. And Sarah's like, I don't even know if I'll see you again. And and so she's pulling me up on Live 360, and this island apparently that we were fishing around was Disney's private island. So it looks like I'm literally laying on a beach on Disney's private island having the time of my life. But that's a side story. But anyway, we're out there fishing, and it's dark. The clouds are there, and you're wading through this water. And if you don't have the sun, you can't see. So you're wading, and at one point, I stepped in a mud hole, and my right leg didn't have too far to go, but I was up to my hip in mud, and you're just like, you're at the mercy of no light. But in an instant, what happens is the sun comes out, and this bohemian water just lights up. Now, for some of y'all, you would be scared, because when it lit up, I had two sharks and a stingray beside me. But it's amazing what happens when you're in the light. And the Bible goes on to say, outside of a relationship with Jesus, we find ourselves in what we would call the domain of darkness. Right? When you become a Christian, Colossians says that we're transferred out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. And in this moment, we're moved out of darkness into his light. So if you're not a Christian, the Bible says, it goes on to say, there's this type of spiritual blindness that you can't see what's ultimately real. You can see some things, but you can't see what's ultimate. You can feel some things, but you can't feel what's ultimate. So when you're walking in the darkness, even when you think you know where things are, you don't necessarily know where they are. And this is our spiritual state outside of Christ. See, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit awakens our heart to the reality of Jesus. And then it lights up. Right? Now your mind is informed by what is true and our heart begins to be shaped. And that's what fuels your emotions, right? Even when we look at worship, now we're free to worship, not intellectually alone, but to really be stirred in our affections for the God of the Bible. And what he's done and who he is. And here's the scary part. Because being in the light means you can't hide from him. I don't know where we forget this. I was meeting with a guy not a couple weeks ago, I think. And he's a guy that had always been in the church. And I was asking him, we were talking, I was trying to get him to be real with what was going on in his life. He goes, I really don't have any struggles. I mean, you don't have any struggles. You don't have anything going on in your heart. Ah, pretty much nailing it. And I said, well, what if for the next 7 days somebody was recording just what was going on in your thoughts, in your head? And we had the opportunity to play it up on a screen one Sunday morning. What would you say then? He didn't have a whole lot to say then, right? You see, when we talk about living in the light, there's a transparency here where God is calling us out of the darkness to what is true. There's nothing hidden. You can't camouflage yourself from Him. You can't hide. David says this in Psalms 139, 11 through 12. He says, if surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me by night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with you. So even coming in here, I think sometimes we come in here and think we can hide for a moment. Listen to me. Secrets are the darkness in which death and destruction grows. It does. I was reading, I was watching this, I love James Bond, and I'm doing this for my boys because they love James Bond. But I was watching this movie the other day in Skyfall, it was on TV, and I heard this this quote. It was in a moment where they're trying to get rid of these secret agents. And M says this, there are nations, there are individuals. Look around you. Who do you fear? Can you see a face, a uniform, a flag? No. Our world is not more transparent now. It's more opaque. It's in the shadows where we must do the battle. Man, there's so much truth in that. We're drawn to this. We feel like we have to hide. And I think so many times we feel like as Christians, we have to have it all together. So our struggles are to hide. I was reading in Isaiah, listen to this. I was reading in Isaiah 9 this week, Christmas time, right? So listen to these words. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Every warrior's boot used in the battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. We will be fuel to the fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. Man, I was reminded this week, we live in a dark world. It's all, we talked about it to start with. It's all around us. The Bible, when it talks about the darkness of it, it's talking about evil and suffering. And here's what's crazy. It also talks about that the problem is that there is no one who knows enough to cure the evil and suffering of it. So when Jesus is saying, I am the light, he's drawing us out of the darkness. As a chiropractor, it's been interesting. Over 15 years of ministry and 21 years of chiropractic, I feel like people tell me more as their doctor than they do as their pastor. Like, I don't know if you've experienced this. A chiropractic office is more like a beautician, you know, a hair place than anywhere else. And but they tell you stuff. And I was praying this week, and these are things that are in my office right now. I have a housewife, a lady that is, she's addicted to pain pills. She's addicted to it. But her husband doesn't know. The people that she does life with at church, they don't know. Why? Because she's scared she's going to lose her marriage if she tells them. She's hiding in the shadows. I've got a young man who's been married for 6 months and he is completely 100% hooked on pornography. But he can't tell his wife because she'll leave him. But he's still hooked. He's in the shadows. I've got a lady who her husband has been working too much. So she's been on social media. She's been on Facebook and she's reconnected with a romance of her past. But she can't say anything because of the shame and the guilt and the fear of loss. This is what King David, the adulterating murderer, says. Listen to this. Blessed, happy, glad is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy, glad, joyful is the man who understands that his sins have been forgiven and his sins have been covered. Blessed, happy, glad is the man who against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Deceit does not mean that he's not guilty, but he's not hiding anything. And then he goes on in verse 3, when I keep silent, my bones waste away through my groaning all day and night. Like the sin in our life, it has a physical effect on us. That's what he's saying. In verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity, I said. I will confess transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David is saying here, I'm not going to live a double life. I'm not going to do it. When my boys were smaller, I still use this, and I knew that they had done something, I would sit them down, and I would say, hey, listen, this isn't going to change the way that me and your mom, the way we feel about you, the way we love you, but you have a choice here. In this moment, you can try to bear the weight of two, or you can bear the weight of one. You can be honest here in this moment, because if you don't, you're going to divide your energy. You're going to divide your vitality. I didn't use the word vitality. You're going to divide your gladness. Because God wants to forgive you. He wants you out of the darkness. See, Jesus came to remove us from that. I don't know if you've ever opened your door at night, but the darkness never comes into the house. When you open your door at night, the light goes out into the darkness. And I know there's people, we've carried stuff for years, but aren't you tired of fighting in the shadows? Man, those hooks, they come in. And if you go, like, it's so sweet here, because if you go to the verses, you know, we're not going to read it because of time's sake, but if you look at the beginning of 8, it's the woman that's caught in adultery. Right? And you know the story. They go in and they pull her out, and honestly, they could care less about the woman. The Pharisees, they want Jesus. They want to trap him. But they catch her. She doesn't confess. They go in and they pull her out, and they're getting ready to stone her, and they ask Jesus, this is what Moses' law says, what do you say here? And Jesus, in a moment, I'd love to know what he wrote. He writes something. But he says, hey, listen. If you got no sin, throw away. And one by one, you can almost just hear the thuds. Says it starts with the old men first, right? Because we've lived longer and we've done some stuff. The younger guys, they think they got it all together and they really don't. But then you see this, they slowly walk away. And Jesus picks up her face. Says, they don't condemn you, and neither do I. Go and sin no more. And here's what's beautiful about this. Because this is how it works as he pulls this out of the darkness. Like there's different ways this play. Honestly, it's you confessing. But there's times where she didn't confess to anything. But the Lord's mercy pulled her out. And there's times where the Bible says that the Lord will let you lie in the sin, right? Romans 12:8 says you can go a lot further than you think you can go. And he turns you over to it. But the beauty of it is he never stops pursuing you. So he forms us, he brings us into the light, and then the third thing is he fills what is empty, what is void. John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that I might have life and have it abundantly." It's hard for me sometimes to get to comprehend common grace, right? You ever think about this? Like, I love a good steak. I don't know what your thing is. Maybe love a good McDonald's cheeseburger. Is Jim here? Or Chick-fil-A sandwich, I don't know, you know. Whatever it is. But even the non-Christian gets to enjoy those things, right? You get to enjoy a family vacation. You get to enjoy the mountains and the beach. You get to enjoy those things. The difference is that with the non-Christian, they end there. There's a ceiling. And outside of Jesus, because we are formless and not formed to fulfill what we're created to do, to bring glory to God by enjoying Him forever, you will always hit the ceiling. But for us as Christians, rooted in the Word of God, informed in His mind, ministering to His heart, informing His ministry, shaping His body, a great steak leads to something of much more worship than anything else at that table. Right? For an unbeliever, it's like, it's a good steak. But for a believer, how generous is God? Not only did He provide this, but He thought it up. You want to glorify and enjoy His great creative brilliance. We just talked about it. Why do we exist? Here's a great example. Tom Brady, here we go. I didn't know I was going to use him this much, but I want you to, I was thinking about Tom this week. We're a lot alike in so many ways. He's got a beautiful, he had a beautiful wife. He doesn't. I have a beautiful wife. He's a little taller, not a lot, but a little bit. And currently, I think they're putting, according to the documentary, they're putting a statue of him outside of Gillette Stadium. There could be a chance that one day when I retire from chiropractic, I could see them putting that out there. Like, I'm being ridiculous. But the point is you look at this guy from a world standpoint, and you're like, he's got it all, right? He's a god, pretty much. In the world's eyes, he's good looking, he's got money, he's won 7 Super Bowls, he's probably, arguably, the greatest quarterback of all time. But listen to this, just threw me. This was in the thing. This is what he says. God, it's got to be more than this. I mean, this isn't it. This can't be what it's all cracked up to be. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, God has put eternity into the heart of man, therefore only what is eternal can fill the gap of eternity. That's what he's missing. And in the words of maybe the greatest theologian of our time, listen to these words. I've climbed highest mountains, I've run through the fields, only to be with you, only to be with you. I have run, I've crawled, I've scaled these city walls, only to be with you. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's St. Paddy's Day. I had to throw that in there. But I think Bono's on to something here, right? There's a gap, and it's temporary. And what Jesus is saying is, I am the light. He's saying, I feel the void of life. And life plays itself out, and it ties all of it together, and we get this new heart, and then from that, since we're walking not in this double life, but open and honest, our relationships deepen. And we begin to walk in community, because not only have we been formed, but we're walking in the light. Think of how much easier it is to be loved and have deep community if you're fully known. But if you're hiding, And you can't receive people's love because you think this image that you're projecting is they're going to push them away. Then you're going to stay in the shadows. Listen, if the chief end of man is to bring glory to enjoying him forever, that brings purpose into my neighborhood. It brings purpose into my workplace. It brings purpose into my son's activities. It means that I'm reflecting the light of Christ anywhere and everywhere I can by enjoying him. And I enjoy him by lining myself up with his good light, his commands that are meant to lead me into the fullest possible life that he can give me. He's the light of the world. The questions that we asked at the beginning, I think we have to ask those questions. Like even this morning, like are there things in your life that as Christians, is there sin or is there things in your life that you need to confess today? Like bring him out into the, he sees it. Are you tired of fighting in the shadows? I think the other question is are you reflecting his light? In the places that he has placed you, in the places you do life, Jesus makes the reference, he says you don't know where I came from, but where I am going. Revelation 22:5 says this, and night will be no more. There will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever. This is the life he's calling you into. Not only is the light upon us, but we have the light. We're given light to illumine our steps as we walk through this life, and that light comes into us so it can go out of us to be the light to other people. Are you reflecting his love and his light in your life? And I think the bigger question today, do you know him? I mean, do you know him? Are you beholding him? Are you walking in the light? Are you walking in the darkness? Here's the beauty of the story. We just read it. For to us a child is born. To us a son is what? It's given. You do nothing to earn this. It's a gift. I'm going to ask team to come back up. And I want to read this over you. It's just a reminder. C.S. Lewis, in his work, The Incarnation, says this. We catch sight of a new key principle, the power of the higher. Just insofar as it truly is higher, the higher to come down to the power of the greater to include the less. Everywhere the greater enters the little, its power to do so is almost the test of its greatness. In the Christian story, God comes down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity, down further still. If embryologists are right to recapitulate in the womb ancient and pre-human phases of life, down to the very roots, seed of the nature he has created. But he goes down to come up again and bring the whole ruined world up with him. One may think of a diver reaching, reducing himself to nakedness, and then glancing in midair, then gone with a splash, vanished, rushing down through green, warm water into black and cold water, down through increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay. Then, up again, back to color and light, his lungs almost bursting, till suddenly he breaks the surface again, holding in his hand the dripping, precious thing that he went down to recover. Do you know him? Would you pray with me? Lord, we need you. This world is dark. And it seems hopeless sometimes, if we're honest. But what we know is true is that you are the light. And you are calling us out of the darkness. You still lead us. You still guide us. Lord, would you help us not fight these battles in the shadows? Would you bring them out in the light? And whatever the sin is, Lord, I even pray this morning if we just need to confess it, lay it before you. Would you open hearts to do that today? And maybe it's this morning, it's just that we've gotten busy, and maybe sometimes our life don't look so reflective. Man, maybe just a reminder, it's one degree of glory at a time. Lord, I don't want us to lay in the shame and guilt of that, but maybe we just need to step back and say, hey, are we being intentional in the way we love our families and the way we love the people we work with and in the life that where you've placed us? We want to be a reflection of that light. My prayer this morning is if you don't, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, give them eyes to see, ears to hear. Draw them close. You are the light. We love you because you loved us first. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen.